the words of Christ. Please stand, if you would, for the reading of God's Word this morning. I'm preaching on the subject, the tragedy of not being ready. The tragedy of not being ready. From Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 11. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. The tragedy of not being ready. According to this parable, there is a wedding procession getting ready to take place, and then a wedding banquet. A procession and a banquet, according to the traditions and customs of those times. Weddings were very different back then, a Jewish wedding. I don't know how it is now, but back then they would basically say their vows, and then the groom would go away for about a year and build a house. And then he'd come back at some unannounced time and claim his bride. She'd be staying with her parents. And there would be a procession from her old home to her new home. And that's exactly what's happening here in this parable. So it's a happy time. There's a wedding. There's going to be a procession. There's going to be a great meal and festivities. But the sad part is not everybody's going to get to enjoy it. Not everybody's going to get to go in. I want to talk to you about these five foolish virgins here. There are 10 virgins. 5 of them are wise, 5 are foolish. And I want to say, first of all, about these 5 foolish virgins is they have no oil. They have no oil. These virgins here are what we'd call bridesmaids. They are the friends of the bride. That's important to remember. They're not the friends of the groom. They're the friends of the bride. And when the bridegroom does come to get his bride there at her parents' home, then these virgins, these bridesmaids, are going to attend her along the joyous procession to this couple's new home. But of the 10, it says 5 of them are foolish. The reason they're foolish is they're not ready for the coming of the bridegroom. Now, they all know that he could come at any time. They know it's been almost a year. He could come in a week or two, or tomorrow, the next day. He could come at any moment. He could come tonight. And according to Oriental custom, he would come at night. It was always at night. But 5 of them, knowing full well what their responsibility is to attend the bride, somehow they have thought, well, I know I have no oil for my lamp. I know we're going to travel at night, but I'll take care of that sometime. Not right now. They know that they have no oil. They intend to get oil, but they just have so far put it off, and they have no oil. They're foolish. They're not ready. They're not ready because they have no oil for their lamps, though the bridegroom could come at any moment. We know throughout the Bible that the oil represents the Holy Ghost. So these foolish 5 symbolize sinners who do not have the Holy Ghost. And of course, no sinner has the Holy Ghost, whether religious or not religious. If you're saved, you have the Holy Ghost. If you're not saved, you do not have the Holy Ghost. Romans 8:9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So, they don't have the Spirit. They don't have the oil. They're not saved. They're not ready for the coming of the bridegroom. Twice in these verses, Jesus calls them foolish. That's a very strong word. It's stronger than we realize. I'll say more about it in just a moment. But they feel like they have plenty of time. You know, the average sinner thinks this way. I know I need to get saved. And I'm going to get saved. But not today. I've got plenty of time. That's the way they think. Very few sinners say, I'm not going to get saved. I intend to burn in hell forever. My mind's made up. No. Now these five are foolish because they think they have plenty of time. How wrong they are when they should have been preparing their sleeping. Do you see these ten? They're all together in one place, side by side. The five wise and the five foolish. The five that have the oil. The five that don't have the oil. They're in the same location. Just like at church this morning, there are foolish people sitting beside of the wise. Saved people sitting beside of lost people. Just like here. But there's a crisis that comes that reveals who's wise and who's foolish. And that crisis is the sudden and unannounced appearance of the bridegroom. The crisis takes place. The cry goes forth at the midnight hour. Behold, the bridegroom is here. Get ready. Take your places in the procession. It's time to go. The long-awaited moment has come at last. Light your lamps. It's time to go now. No oil. Number two, no sharing. These foolish five wake up with a shock and a surprise. They're immediately reminded, once they've heard that the bridegroom is now here, that they have not prepared. They have no oil. There's nowhere to buy any oil at midnight. They're not ready. Oh, they knew He was coming. They just didn't think it'd be tonight. Oh, they thought, well, maybe it'll be next week or tomorrow. We don't have any oil. We cannot possibly join in the procession. We don't get to go. They say to the wise, give us of your oil. Our lamps are gone out. And the wise say, we can't do that. If we shared of your oil, there wouldn't be enough. None of us would make it. And the wise say, we can't share. We can't. You see, you can't divide your salvation with somebody else. Nobody can borrow your salvation. You can't give your salvation to somebody else. If you have any faith, it's got to be your own faith. Oh, you'd like to share. We'd all like to share. We'd all like to save people if we could. But we can't. There's no sharing. You can't divide with anybody else. Your mom and dad can't divide their salvation with you. They can't decide for you as much as they want you to get saved. You'll decide to get saved or you'll go to hell. That's all there is to it. Your grandparents, they can't give you the oil. The spiritual oil of the Holy Ghost. Your friends can't save you. It's your choice and decision. I think I hear the foolish five realizing what has happened just now. Realizing they have no oil. And that there's no time to buy oil. There's no oil to be bought. And they look at each other and say, is this really happening? How could we have been so unprepared? So unconcerned? Our whole mission and job and purpose was to attend the bride. That's why we're bridesmaids. But we have failed in that which is the most important. We're not going to get to go. No sharing. Careless, indifferent. Number three, no excuse. They miss the whole procession. By the time they go to buy oil, I suppose they find some or get some somewhere, but they miss the whole procession. By the time they get to the bridegroom's house, the door's shut. The Bible says they that were ready went in, and the door was shut, verse number 10. Of course, it was shut to for the safety of those on the inside and to keep out strangers. And afterward came also the other virgin saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. We're here now. We're here now. We had to go get some oil. Nowhere to buy it. We got some from our family. But we're here now. But there's no excuse. The door's shut. They knew that the bridegroom could have come at any moment. They knew they had no oil, but now they're shut out. They're standing on the outside. But it's their own fault. It's their own failure. It's their own presumption that they had another day. It's their own delay. They have no excuse and nobody to blame. Nobody. Even so, the sinner this morning has no excuse. Paul said in Romans 1:20 that everybody in the whole world is without excuse. Because your conscience tells you there is a God. You don't even have to have a Bible to know there's a God. Your conscience told you that. Your conscience told you that you're a sinner. Your conscience told you you're going to die. And then, of course, the Word of God tells you how to be saved. But Paul said men are without excuse. Inexcusable, he says, in the next chapter. No excuse. None. Nobody here this morning will be able to say, but Lord, I had no opportunity. Lord, I did not have access to a Bible. Lord, you can't send me to hell. I didn't have a church to go to. I didn't know. I didn't have any Christian friends. I never got to hear any preaching. I never got to be in an invitation. It's not my fault. No, you'll not be able to say that. You'll have to hang your head and say it was my choice and I knew what I ought to do and I put it off and it's all my fault. And it's all my fault. It is the decision. More important than all other decisions of your whole life put together is this decision. Are you ready for the coming of the bridegroom? Who could come at any moment? And it's totally sad and unnecessary to end up among the foolish. I looked up this word foolish, very, very powerful word. More than unwise, it means absurd. I didn't write the Bible, I'm just going to tell you what it says. It's the word where we get the word moron. Look it up in the Greek, it means stupid. It means stupid. Did you know it's stupid not to get saved? Amen. I'm going to preach the Bible. You can like it or lump it. For anybody to say, no, Jesus, I don't want you. I'd rather burn in hell. That's stupid. It's the word foolish, dull. It also means short-sighted. You know what you need to do, sinner friend, is look ahead, look beyond tomorrow, look ahead, look at your tombstone, look 100 million years in the future. Where are you going to be? You're short-sighted. All you're thinking about is right now. You need to look ahead. That's what the word foolish means, not looking ahead. Now the devil will tell you, and the world will tell you, and even false religion will tell you that it's foolish to be a Christian. But I'm here to tell you, it's foolish not to be a Christian. It's absurd. Anybody that'll just think about it for a few minutes, there's only one right decision. No excuse. Number 4, no hope. Lord, open to us. We're here now. We know we should have had all. We know we should have been ready. Will you let us in? I don't know you. I don't know you. I'm not opening the door. And they didn't argue. They knew he didn't know them. They were the friends of the bride, not the groom. He didn't know them. Now what could have happened and what did happen is if they'd been ready for the procession, they could have got acquainted. But he could honestly say, I don't know you. Don't know your voices. Don't know you. So now it's too late. They'd had ample time. They'd had weeks and months of opportunity. But they wasted it. These foolish five, they get to the door too late. And this word here, shut, is a very strong word. It means with finality. It means shut, to stay shut. Shut with no hope of ever being opened. Shut like the door on Noah's Ark. Shut. These foolish five. I think they're getting mighty serious now. They might even be crying now. They're listening to the preacher now. They're not thinking about television and the ball game right now. Finally, they sobered up. They might even be praying. But it's too late now. Too late after you die. No hope. Too late after the door is shut. No hope. Too late after Jesus comes back in rapture. No hope. Too late. No hope after the Spirit of God ceases to strive with you. Too late. No hope. If we could go to hell this morning, most people down there would say, I really intended to get saved one day. I just put it off till it was too late. Verily I say unto you, I know you not. I don't know you. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, speaking of that great coming judgment day for sinners, He said, people will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, I was a church member. Lord, I cast out devils. I did miracles. I did many wonderful works. Why am I going to be cast into hell? Then will I profess unto them, I don't know you. You never were saved. You might have believed in God, prayed a prayer, shed a tear. You might have gone through the baptismal waters, tried to live a good life. But as far as being saved, you never got saved, and therefore I don't know you. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I don't know you. Oh, that's going to be a mighty sad day. And every single person there, when the angels are hurling them, the cast is the word hurl, when the angels throw you into the fire, you'll be thinking, but I could have got saved, but I put it off too late. And now it's too late. And Jesus don't know me. And if all this is true, and it is, then it sure means now is the time to make your provision. Now's the time to get saved, and you'll never have to worry about that. Now's the time to get the matter settled once and for all, and not tomorrow. Tomorrow is a road that'll take you to the house of never. Tomorrow's a guillotine that'll destroy your hope of heaven. Tomorrow is a gamble. Tomorrow is a vain hope, an illusion. Listen to me. Tomorrow is the devil's lie. It's presumption. Tomorrow may never come. It may never come. That's why the Bible says, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. This lady wrote to a doctor. She said, I heard you're going to be in this country. She said, would you come to our house and see our daughter? She needs surgery. She needs eye surgery. And I heard you're coming to this country. Well, he didn't reply. He had a surgery to perform for a very wealthy family and brought him all the way to America from Austria. This famous doctor had a habit of going out for a morning walk. And he actually had the limousine that followed behind him. Well, this morning he was out walking. A rain came up and he just ran to the first house he saw and stood on their porch while the rain passed till the limousine driver could come and get him. This lady came out of the house and saw him standing there and very impolitely said, who are you and what are you doing? He said, ma'am, I'm sorry, but it's pouring down rain. He said, okay, if I just stand here for a few minutes? She said, I guess, as she shut the door. How horrified she was to learn the next day. That was the doctor that she'd wanted for her daughter. And when she went to apologize to him, he was already gone, back to New York and then back home. And she said that day, and for the rest of her life, she said, he was standing at my door, but I would not let him in. Maybe there's some sinner here this morning. Jesus is standing at your door. Let him in. He won't always be standing there. You won't always have the opportunity. You may never have another opportunity. You will never have this opportunity again. You say, not at church. Why not? You get away from here and you'll have the strong influence of sin and Satan. But here you're among God's people who love you and are praying for you. And the Spirit of God is drawing you. There could not be a better place or time than now. Than now. He was right at my door, she said. But I refuse to ask him in. Let's bow our heads. Close our eyes as they come to get us a song.